We have another special guest today. In 1992, I came to Louisiana as a youth pastor in North Louisiana, and I met Gary and Dee Salp. They were the district youth directors. They were over all of the youth ministry and youth pastors in the state of Louisiana, and I wound up getting to work with them for 10 years. I worked as a sectional rep and youth, and I don't know, several other things I did with Brother Salp and camps, and we raised missions money for youth, which is called Speed the Light. And under Brother Sapp's tenure, the amount of money that we raised went from a few hundred thousand to almost a million. Did we ever break a million, Brother Sapp? Got right up there close to breaking a million. Just have seen God do awesome and amazing things. And Gary and Dee Salp, I would call mentors and spiritual parents in my life. And it's such a pleasure to have Brother Salp here. He's going to share his ministry with you. He's going to challenge us today. Would you please welcome Brother Gary Salp?
I love you, man. Praise the Lord. Good morning. It is still morning. And it's not 12 yet, so it's still morning. Amen. And but we're glad to be here. Dee and I both. Dee is out at the table talking to someone about child sponsorship, and she is the first two services she's been in. I've introduced her, and I have to always tell her don't preach because she gets started on whatever God's done in her life, which He's done a lot. She was given 4 months to live, and that was 21 years ago. God healed her of cancer, and. They cut her colon out, and God put it back in her body. 1 year later, she went in for colon in to be checked up, and the doctor come out, and he said, it's unbelievable. He said, the colon I cut out is back in her body. I said, excuse me? Because they don't grow back, you know? And most people, they just don't believe. They'll go, you know, like, I don't believe that. And I'm thinking, well, why would I lie in church? I mean, I ain't going to lie, period, but I sure ain't going to lie in church. Ananias and Sapphira lied over their money, what they kept, they supposed to give to God, they kept. God killed both of them, and the church took them outside and buried them. So we ain't got no, you don't have any shovels, do we? Okay. So I'm just telling you, and you know, God, people just kind of, you know, I don't believe that or whatever, you know. One old brother told me that down in Thibodeau, not long after it happened, and he said, I don't believe that. So I don't give a rip where you believe it or not, you know. And my wife said, no, you shouldn't have said that, Gary. That's harsh. So now I just say I don't give a holy rip where you believe it or not. So if you need a cuss word, holy rip's a good one, okay? And but we're glad to be here, Dee and I both. We love Keith and love this church and so thankful for everything that you guys have done for this church, for him, and he's one of our favorites. And so when I found out he was coming here, I thought, wow, that is a good thing. That is a good thing. Let me tell you what we do if you don't know. Some of you may know. But we feed, clothe, and educate, and medically take care of 40,000 kids every day. Every day. We do it in 15 countries of this great world we live in. And we have 268 schools, and we have one orphanage, but we are turning that orphanage now into a safe house and where we're rescuing little boys and girls out of prostitution. It's amazing. 5 years ago, the number one country in the world for prostitution was the country of India. 3 years ago, the number one country was the Philippines, and that's where our newest safe house is. And I'm going to show you a video here in just a minute of some girls that live in our safe house there in the Philippines. But today, in the United States, this day, the number one country is the United States for sex trafficking. Isn't that horrible? And the number one venue for sex trafficking every year in the USA is the Super Bowl. Every year. Tell you a little story. It happened in January this year, Houston, Texas. State trooper, Texas state trooper, filled with the Spirit of God. Listen to the Spirit of God. I say this all the time. The most important person on the face of this earth is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send somebody to you, but if I don't go, he can't come. And his name's going to be the Holy Spirit, and he will take care of you. He'll be your guide, your strength, your power, everything you need till I get back. And I can tell you this, I can testify to you today that he's been everything I have needed since the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He's that. So anyway, this trooper was sitting there just where he, on the side of the road, and a yellow school bus goes by. And the Holy Spirit said, watch that bus. To him, watch that bus. He follows that bus, and the driver got nervous, finally did something where he could actually pull him over. And on that bus was 60 little girls who had been taken from their families and was being taken to the Super Bowl to be sold to men for sex at the Super Bowl. But through a man of God who happened to be a state trooper, it don't always take a preacher. When you're full of God, you God's instrument to help somebody that day. You are. He saved the life of 60 little girls because they were able to get them back to the parents where they were stolen from and kidnapped. Isn't that amazing? I said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. What an awesome, awesome thing. So we can guarantee you this, that when you sponsor one of our kids, they will never, ever be sold into sex trafficking, ever. And I can promise you this, they'll get an education. Because once they graduate and get an education, they never live in poverty again. Because in third world countries, if you have a high school education, you can get a very good job and make a very good living. We have right now, in some of our countries that we operate in, the directors for that country are kids that were street kids, that we sponsored them, took care of them, and they grew up, and they got an education, and now they work for us. They're doing what they was brought out of. And so it's an amazing thing. We have a young man that from down in Dominican Republic that took care of Wellington. He took care of, takes care of Dominican Republic, Honduras, and Haiti. And the beautiful thing about Wellington was the sponsor that he had, their last name was Wellington. And he got permission from them to change his name legally when he turned 18, because they sponsored him all the way through high school, to change his first name. His first name became Wellington, and his last name is Clemente. And he is that sponsored him all those years in college, Bill, for him to get a bachelor's degree, then a master's degree. Isn't that amazing? God's got people that are willing to do something, because I'm going to tell you, you will never be more like God until you do something for somebody that can never repay you. You'll never be more like God, ever, ever, ever. All we ask people to do is just sponsor a child, $39 a month. On that table out there, there's 10 little picture frames my wife so graciously fixed up. Those 10 kids are mine. We don't ask people to do what we don't do. A lady in Houston asked me, she said, all 10 kids yours? I said, yeah. She said, you get a discount? I said, no, ma'am, we don't get no discount. I said, but if we did, which one of them babies you don't want to eat tomorrow? Which one you don't want to have clothes and have food and get their medical, all their medical stuff? She said, oh, I just thought the more you sponsor, the cheaper they got. I said, oh, no, ma'am, $39 a month. And when God told us to do that, D and I simply said to God out loud, God, that's $390 a month, like he can't multiply. You know, I mean, I do have to help him out every now and then. And I said, God, where am I going to get $390 extra every month? God said this to me the same way he has said it for years. He said, I'll get it to you. I just have to get it through you. That's it. God gets it to us. Let me tell you, the car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you got on, you wouldn't have any of it if it wasn't for God. It's all because of him, or none of it would be there. The job you have is God-given. You say, well, I hate it. Well, pray God to give you a better one. Don't quit. Don't go out there and be dumb, quit. No, you say, okay, God, I'm going to stay here till you give me a better job making more money, because that's called favor. And I'm going to share with that to you in just a little bit about favor, how God increases favor in my life every day, every day. We give you a profile just like this here. You write to these children. They write back to you. Lady come by the table after the last service. She said, I can't hardly wait to write to my child. I just think that'll be so fun. But they'll write back to you. There's a white form in here just like this one. My fingers are touching. You fill that out, and it's perforated, and you tear it out, and you leave it with us before you go home today. If you take the white form and go home with it, you've kidnapped our child. And that's the only way we know who has the child is when they turn that form in. You can put it on a credit card or a debit card. It's safe with us. I put mine on my credit card because I just don't like writing a lot of checks. And if you say, well, I don't have a credit card, I don't have cash, I don't have, a check, what do I do? Down here where the credit card information goes, you just write the words, bill me. And we'll bill you. We're going to bill you any way you pay, but we'll bill you. In a couple of weeks, you'll get a welcome pack. Because some people don't bring money to church. I have a friend, Thibodeau. He told me, he said, if Pastor announces you're coming, I don't bring my checkbook, I don't bring cash, and I don't bring my credit card. He said, all I got in my pocket is my driver's license. I said, well, why don't you bring it? He said, because I know if you come and you're going to get my money. He said, you'll talk me right out of it. I said, no, I won't. The Holy Spirit will. But I won't. But here's the deal. You got to turn that in. And if you take that white form home with you, may the fleas of 1,000 camels inherit your bed tonight. And I know you're going, that ain't going to happen. Don't count on it. Because you don't know where God will answer my prayer that way or not. I'm going to tell you this real quick. We had a lady. This happened. God got so tickled. She wrote us. There's always one that takes it home. There's already been one here. And I pray God itches them all night long. I hope they scratch all night long. Because they're going to remember that. They're going to say, oh, Lord, that preacher prayed that I'd have fleas in my bed. She sent this in with a note. She said, I took that home with me, and she said, I literally itched all night long. And I woke up and thought, oh, my God, I didn't turn that white form in, and those fleas have been in my bed. And I assured her the fleas weren't there, but I said, God probably itched you all night where you had to scratch, you know. She mailed it in. 3% of the people that take them home, 3% will return them, 97% never do. And it takes 6 months to put that little sweetheart back in the system. 6 months. Not counting the cost of having to reprint this deal right here. We have to wait that long because we don't want to get two sponsors out there on the same child. It's one sponsor per child. I want to show you something. It's a video that we just made a few months ago of our safe house in the Philippines. We rescued Eileen. And after about a month, Eileen came to us and said, I have two sisters out there. Would y'all go get them? She told us where they'd be that night. And so we went and got her two sisters, and we rescued her two sisters off the streets. One lady asked me, how do you rescue them? I said, well, honey, we just do what the devil did. He took them, we take them back. That's what we do. He took them, we take them back. Now, you say, well, that ain't right. Well, if you know a better way, you tell us, okay? That's what we do. We don't hide it. We just go get them. Well, here's the thing. We have all three girls in our safe house. You're going to hear Eileen tell the story of her and her three sisters. You're going to see this as it actually happened. I was in the Philippines. We were doing some filming, and the girls came up to us and asked our director, could they go back to their village and pray for the lady that sold them into prostitution? Now, they didn't ask us to film anything. We just thought, well, if we let them do this, then we, because this lady had not seen them in 3 years, the lady that sold them into prostitution. She hadn't seen them in 3 years. So we thought, well, if they're going to go back, let's just take our cameras and let's video it as it happens. You're not going to see a reenactment. You're going to see it just the way it happened on that day in the Philippines. So, guys, if you'll roll this video, you hear Eileen's story. Need a little volume. Thank you.
Sometimes I can ask God why life is so unfair, because some of the kids like me, they have their father, their mothers to care for them. But for me, it's... Before, when I was in my home, like I'm in the darkness, I was very bad girl. But now God really changed my life. He really molded me. I'm so thankful to God that He brought my two sisters here in the safe house so that they can know Jesus and all of their dreams and hope will come true because God is always there for them.
I know Jesus and God. That's a purpose for my life.
I'm 14 years old when I first came here in the safe house, and now I'm 17 years old. Someday I want to become a teacher.
I was very different before than now. Now I am a new creation of God. And I began to realize that He has a great plan for my life. I can see my bright future. My motto in life is never give up. No matter what trials may come my ways, I will continue to serve the Lord because God promised me that He will never leave me and I will never, never give up. Now I am a worship leader. My favorite song is Thank You, Lord, because it means a lot to me. You took my darkness and gave me your light. That's why that I like that, because really God took my darkness and He gave His light to me.
Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Changing the world for one changes everything. And it does, believe me. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that a great story? Their mom had not seen them in 3 years, but I'll tell you this real quickly. Those three girls led their mama to Jesus. Their mom accepted Christ sitting on that little bench that day. And all the siblings have accepted Christ, the rest of their siblings. We put them in touch with the pastor. We got him in touch with them. And he sees to them, and he told us that they don't miss church unless they're sick or just not home. They're gone maybe somewhere, but he says they're faithful to be in the house of God. So lives were changed, and you saw the smile on those girls' face. Did you see all the little spots, the hard one? Those girls were burned with cigarettes. That's where all that came from. They were beat with belt buckles because when they don't do enough tricks, their pimps beat them and burn them. And they don't feed them that day. They don't get anything to eat all day long. So once we rescue them and Jesus takes over, amen? When 83% of our kids have accepted Christ, that's because we give them Jesus every day. They see who Jesus is through people like me and you. So it's an amazing thing. I have 20 kids that we brought for this service today. And so basically I just need 20 people that would say, hey, I will take the chance that God will do what He says He'll do. He'll give me the money every month. How long do I do this? As long as you can. There's no set time. You just do it. For every month that you can do it, that month we can go get another child. And we can feed them and clothe them and educate them and tell them about Jesus, that He is the Savior of the world. So we're not asking you to do this for a certain period of time. We just ask you to do it as long as you can do it. When you have to stop, we understand. You just let us know. So the men have these in their hands, the ushers do, and they're going to come forward, and I just ask you to raise your hand and say, I'll take a child. You know, Brother Keith's going to take the first one, and you're going to take Abraham. That's amazing, Abraham. So Brother Keith's taking Abraham. So I just need about 20 people that'll say, hey, we'll do this, we'll take a child, and we will sponsor that child as long as we can. Believe me, God will give you the money every month. I promise you that. Every month, God will give it to you. I want to share with you, and just fill out that white form while I'm preaching today. God won't mind you doing that. You can listen and fill that out at the same time. I want to share with you this morning the ever-increasing favor of God. The ever-increasing favor of God. Let me read some scripture to you today. You won't have time to turn. Trust me, it's in the Bible. Psalms 30:5 says, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Genesis 6:8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Notice that word favor. I'm going to read another scripture to you. Psalms 90:17, let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The last scripture I want to read to you is Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Favor. The favor of God. And so one day I'm riding in my car, and I'm asking God for more favor. But here's what I want to just touch base with you real quickly. Everybody in here likes favor. Hello. If you don't like favor, you weird. I mean, you are. I love favor. I used to, as a kid, my dad, I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor all my life. My mom and dad are 92 years old, and they sponsor kids. Isn't that amazing? My dad said to my mom, now, Irene, we're on a fixed income. And my mom looked at him. She said, Leonard, I'm tired of hearing that. She said, everybody's on a fixed income. Some are just fixed better than others. Isn't that amazing? The other day, I went and took them to lunch. My mom's 92. Sister Logan, you will appreciate this. I took them to lunch. My mom said, you know, son, if I don't hurry up and die. Now, we weren't talking about nobody dying. I mean, you know, we don't just get together and sit around and say, who's going to die next? So we weren't even talking about that. She said, if I don't hurry up and die, all my friends that went to heaven ahead of me is going to think I went to hell. Every time I tell that, I mean, because that's a classic. You ain't no comedian can dream that up, you know. But I love favor. But I'd read that scripture as a kid where it said it's better to give than to receive. And I'm thinking, that ain't a good scripture. Because as a kid, I thought, no, it's better to receive. But as I got older and I started giving like the Lord wanted me to give, I found out that it is better to give than to receive. But then I said to the Lord one day, God, I just want more favor. I'm riding in my car. I'm going down the street. How many of you talk to yourself besides me? Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. But here's the thing. It's okay. If you're not talking to yourself, you're missing half your life. And if you're not answering yourself, you're missing the other half of your life. So I'm talking to myself going down the road, and I see this guy on the sidewalk walking toward me. Nobody's around him, just him. He's walking, and that mouth is going 90 miles an hour, just run like that. And I thought, I just said to him out loud, he couldn't even hear me. But I said, I feel you, brother. I've been where you are. You know, he's just talking away. Nobody even around him. But I said to the Lord, I want more favor. And the Lord said, okay. Give more. I said, give more. Lord, do you know how much we give now? I mean, I had, you know, like I got to help God out on the giving part. Like he doesn't know what I give. And I said, Lord, we already give. I said, but I want more favor. And then God said to me, here are some ways that favor increases in your life. Now he's talking to me, okay? He said, every time you read my word, study my word, favor increases in your life. Not just in your life, but on your wife's life and on your kids and on your grandkids and even on their grandkids or their kids when they have kids, if you live that long. Favor increases in their life. Because once it increases on your life, it increases on their life. Hello? I tell my kids all the time, because Dee and I give like we give money-wise to the church, to the kingdom, y'all are blessed because of what we give. Now, they give, but I said, you're blessed because we give. And so I said, Lord, okay. And then the Lord said, every time that you pray, favor increases in your life. Every time you attend the house of God, favor increases in your life. And Lord just started going down the, just kind of giving me ways that favor had increased in my life. And I said, Lord, that's awesome. I mean, that is the blade, but I want more favor. Now, I'm going to tell you how I am, and my wife will verify this. She's out there, but she'll verify this right here. Every time I head to Walmart, y'all do have those down here. I've seen them. I live in North Louisiana, West Monroe. The only thing we got up there is Duck Dynasty, and they're fading out, you know. So. But and they're good friends of mine, all of them. But here's the deal. I go to Walmart 5 minutes before I get there. I say, okay, Lord, favor needs to jump on me. I want a parking place right up close to the door. I have never circled that parking lot over 2 times till I get a parking place right by that front door. I prayed last night. We got to the hotel. They told us they had a wedding party going on. They told us they had everything happening. And I mean, the parking lot was full. And I pulled in, unloaded the car. And so I got ready to park, and I prayed before I got there. Lord, I need a parking place. And right by the door, there's one. The guy backs out and leaves, and I pull right in. And my wife said, I'll be beat this mess. She said, this just knocked me out. I said, it's called favor. I said, you might want to try it sometime. Of course, that went over like a pork chop in synagogue. Yeah. If you ain't Jewish, you wouldn't get that. I thought it's so funny that on Easter, everybody wants to eat ham. Up in North Louisiana, everybody's cooking ham on Easter. I said, here we're celebrating a man that was risen, a Jew, and we're eating ham. Come on, give me a break. So I ate chicken that day. But here's the whole thing about favor. God wants you to have the best. He does. He wants you. He wants his kids to be blessed in every area of your life. And I don't know why God chose to run the church on money. I said to him, God, why did you do this? Why did you run this church on money? He said, because money is the hardest thing for my people to let go of when it comes to kingdom business. Hello? I have a friend in West Monroe named Jeff Edwards. Jeff told me I could use his story. Jeff bought a business about a year ago. He bought a business, a transmission business from another guy. It was going down. Guy was losing business, so he sold it to Jeff. Jeff was in one of my services the Sunday after Thanksgiving last year. Guy was losing business, so he sold it to Jeff. Jeff was in one of my services the Sunday after Thanksgiving last year. I preach every year in my home church the Sunday after Thanksgiving. My pastor likes to go home for Thanksgiving, so that's my time to preach at our church. I offered sponsorship kits. Jeff took 12. The reason he took 12, because he said the Lord told him to. He said, you want your business blessed? Take 12 kids. Take one for every employee that you have. Now, I did not tell this in the other two services. I just know the Holy Spirit told me to tell it. He said, take one for every employee you have. Bring them to your building, put them up on a board, and assign one to every employee. And I have a picture of it on my phone. I'll be glad to show it to you.
He said, and you have them come in every morning. Put them right by the time clock. When they punch in, they have to, you'll sign each kid. You'll sign John a kid, Bob a kid, Mark a kid, every one of them, to get all 12 of them signed. When they come in, they have to lay their hand on that kid, and they have to say a prayer for that kid. He said, God, they're not all Christians. God said, do what I tell you. Do what I tell you. So he did. When he told him, said, this is your kid. His picture's going to be in there. You have to write to him, or your family has to write to him, or her, and you have to pray for him every morning when you punch that clock. Or if you don't, you ain't got a job here. Well, I'll tell you what, I could be the hardest down center in the world. I'd go in and say, Lord, I don't know nothing about this, but bless that kid right there. Amen? Amen? The month of December, he called me after all this was over and took me to lunch. The month of December was the biggest month that business had ever had in the history of the business. Went all the way back to 1968. The biggest month, December. January was bigger. February was bigger than January. March was bigger than February. April was bigger than March. He said, ever since we started sponsoring those kids, and I didn't preach on favor. He said, Brother Sapp, God told us to do it. He said, this business has been blessed. And he said, you won't believe this. He said, I'm going down, and the money I borrowed on this business, which was $1 million, he said, I'm paying this business off this month. It's debt-free. That business, he said, and I'm telling you, it's all because the favor of God has blessed this business, because God asked me to support some kids at $39 a month. He said, what a cheap price to pay to be able to pay your business off in a year's time. I said, that's amazing. Can I use that story? He said, you better believe it. I'm just trying to show you God don't love him any more than he loves you or me. Hello? 23% of the people, and I don't know why people get nervous when preachers preach on giving. I don't understand that. I never have. But boy, they do. They get nervous. You know, I guess it's because you're getting in their tater patch or something. I don't know what the deal is. But only 23% of the people that attend church, according to George Barnum, who is a church specialist, only 23% of the people that attend church on Sunday morning in any given denomination tithe. Only 23%. That bothered me. I thought, man, that's crazy. Now, I grew up in church, I told you. My dad's a preacher. I asked my dad one time. I said, Dad, tell me something. He's 92. I said, why did I never really hear you preach on giving growing up? I never heard sermons on giving. Dad said, oh, we were scared, brother. I said, no, I'm your son. You don't have to call me brother. But then my dad called everybody brother. He said, oh, we were scared. He said, we were afraid if we preached on giving, we'd run them off. I said, Dad, if they're not tithing, and they were not tithing, you ain't running nothing off. If they leave, you ain't got nothing but a body gone. You sure ain't getting no tithe out of them, and they ain't not doing what God told them to do. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, all the way down, read the whole chapter if you want to, says the tithe belongs to the Lord. Amen? The tithe belongs to God. I said, so if you run them off, you know, you ain't lost nothing except a body. He said, well, I never thought about that. I said, and besides that, Dad, those people are coming to church soaking up heat and air conditioning somebody else paid for. Now think about it. I had a brother ask me, well, I want to ask you something, he said. What does that tithe go for? I said, well, let me just help you. Everybody that gets paid at this church, the pastor, the staff, that's where your tithe pays their salaries. I said, you like these lights we got on today? Oh, yeah. I said, you like this air conditioning we got? And it was 103 outside. Oh, yes, sir, he said, I do. I said, your tithe pays for that. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, come on. That's where your tithe goes. God chose to run the church that way. And I said, besides that, he says, when you give tithe to me, you give to me, and it opens the windows of heaven. But when you start giving above your tithe, the blessings really start kicking out of that window. Now, that window opens and stuff does come out. When you start tithing, God starts blessing. But it's like a little stream. I look at it this way, a little stream, and then when I start giving above my tithe, a big gold stream starts gushing out. Amen. That's the way it happened. Now, for you that tithe, you're fine. If you don't tithe, let me tell you, you try it for 90 days. And I promise you this, in 90 days, if God hadn't blessed you physically, mentally, and financially, you get my card off that table out there, and I will pay you your tithe back out of my pocket. Every dime you give to the church, I'll call Brother Keith, I'll ask him, tell me what so-and-so gave, I'm sending them a check. Because you know what? I've made that statement more than one time. I ain't never had to pay nobody back yet. You know why? Because God's going to bless you. He cannot not bless you. His word says he is obligated to you. Amen. Now, I love having God obligated to me. Because when I give, he's obligated to bless me. He says, I will press it down, I will shake it together, and I will make it run over. And I love the running over. Amen? Amen. Now, I like all that shaking and pressing, but I want it to run over. So God does that. That's the way God blesses. When we tithe, when we give, God blesses. I told this brother, I said, everything goes on in this church, that's what your tithe covers. I said, we couldn't operate without it. Well, he said, I ain't never thought about it that way. I said, well, you do now. Now, one Sunday, I was preaching in Thibodaux. Y'all know where Thibodaux is? Okay. I was preaching in Thibodaux. This has been a few years ago. I was preaching there, and I wasn't preaching on tithing. That was not my intention. But for some reason, God just, in my Holy Spirit, said, bring in tithing, and I did. And after church, this guy come down the aisle. I'm up here at the front. Y'all, has anybody ever been in the Thibodaux church besides me? Brother Logan, you've been in there. Okay, he's coming down that aisle. I'm standing there. Almost everybody was left church. He said, I want to talk to you. Well, I knew by the tone of that voice, he didn't tithe. Because if he'd have been a tither, he'd have come down and said, hey, brother, let me tell you a story. Oh, no, no, no. He was madder than an old hatter. You know, and I said, okay, what's the problem? He said, I don't understand this tithing. I don't like this tithing. It's ridiculous. And I said, well, let me ask you something, Bubba. Now, I did not know the man's name was Bubba. He told me later, he said, when you did that, I thought I'd better listen to him. God's told him my name. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's, hey, you don't serve a sad sack God. You serve a God that's joyous. And when he put in the book, laughter doeth good like a medicine, that's because he laughs. And I think the Holy Spirit's going, hey. You said it don't work that way. Well, leave me alone because I'm having fun. I said, Bubba, sit down right here. I said, you go to Walmart? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, let me tell you about Walmart. All they like about you is your money. They don't care nothing about you. They don't care whether you eat today, whether your house note's paid, whether your car note's paid. They don't care. But the difference is when you give God 10% of your gross income like we're supposed to, our first fruits belong to God. I said, God cares. He's obligated to pay your house note. He's obligated to pay your groceries. He's obligated to see that you have everything you need financially because he is God, and he don't lie, and he'll take care of you, and he'll give you better than what Walmart will ever give you. He said, wow. So I said, what'd you make last week, Bubba? He said, $1,000. I said, is that your gross? He said, yeah, that's my gross. I said, you got a checkbook? He said, yeah. I knew he had one. I saw it in his pocket. I said, give me your checkbook. So I wrote his tithe out. $100. Made it out to the church. I said, now, sign it. He said, what's that for? I said, that's your tithe for this week. He said, so I got to give God $100? I said, yeah, you do. It's his. And I used an illustration. And I'm going to use it in this service. And I used my brother that said, see, this guy enjoyed it so much, he stayed one more service. I asked him, did he have a weed eater? He said, yeah. And I simply said, if I come borrow your weed eater, and 10 years later I still got your weed eater, what would you call me? And he said, a thief. That's what the world would call you. You say, well, I didn't steal it. You didn't steal it. No. but you know it don't belong to you. And so you still have it 10 years later. So you might as well be a thief. Hello. There's a lot of people going to churches today around America that better give God his weed eater back. They've had his weed eater too long. They do. They just keep God's money and they don't have a problem with it. But let me tell you something. What a joy when God starts blessing you. I took it. He wrote his check out. He signed it. I said, now I'm going to give this to Pastor Rose and you pay. Now next week I want you to pay your tithe again. Next week I want you to do this for 90 days, Bubba. And 90 days, if you ain't blessed, you call me. He said, okay. He called me after 90 days, but it was with a shout. He said, whoa, brother. He said, you ain't going to believe this. This tithing thing is fun. He said, now I ain't got into the offerings yet, but he said, if it's any better than this tithing, he said, buddy, I'm into it. I said, thank you, Bubba. I said, but more than anything, thank God. Thank the Holy Spirit. Because I said, he allowed you to come up there and allowed me to take time with you. You see, that's what it's all about. I would not dream of keeping God's money. Amen? And then you start giving above your time. Let me just wipe it out right here with this. D and I, and I ain't said this in the first two services, okay? I don't know why God wants me to say it in these. I'm just go ahead and finish up. I do what the Holy Spirit tells me to, because I got to go to sleep tonight. And he'll say, I told you to say something, you didn't say it. Okay? D and I started asking the Lord to let us give 50% away and live on 50%. We prayed that prayer for 5 years. God help us to give 50% away and live on 50%. A man by the name of J.C. Penney, y'all have heard that name? You know, I used to, when Dee and I were pastoring our first church, we didn't make much money, and we'd go to J.C. Penney and buy our clothes. People would ask us where we got it, and we'd tell them Jose Penney. They never caught on. They said, where's that store at? It's in the mall. It's Jose Penney. We'd go to J.C. Penney and get our clothes because that was the cheapest place we could find them. I mean, Walmart wasn't kicking in then. And so, you know, God, but we started praying. God, we want to live on 50% and give away 50%. Well, can I tell you something? In 2015, we hit it. We gave away 51.9% away, and we lived on the rest. 2015, we did it again. 16, I mean, we did it again. 2015, 2016, and we plan on doing it in 2017. Hello? And you ain't looking at a poor guy today. I am debt free. I moved in. I bought a house. We built a house 10 years ago. We paid it off. And you know how we paid it off? God spoke to a man who picked up his phone and called me and said, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. He said, God told me to pay your house off. Wow. He didn't ask me what I owed. God told me to pay your house off. We had been praying that God would pay our house off. We said, God, we're giving to you, and we're happy with this because we're seeing people blessed. This is our tithe plus our giving above our tithe. Because I'm telling you, when you start giving above your tithe, get ready. Get ready, because I'm telling you, those windows are going to... I asked the Lord one day, I said, how big are your windows? He said, how big are my heavens? I said, if they're that big, I better get me a bigger barn to be able to hold all this stuff. The guy said, God told me to pay your house off. How much do you owe? And I told him. We just built that house. We still owed quite a few $100,000. And he just wrote the check to Chase Bank. I took it, got it, went down to Chase Bank, paid my house off. Hello. Well, that's because God loves you, because you're a preacher. Baloney. It's because God loves me and I'm a giver. When you give, God's obligated to you. The book says he is, and his book don't lie, and he don't lie. He will cause people to give to you. The book says he'll cause men to give unto your bosom. That means bosom, me. Man walked out the door this morning. He stuck his hand in my hand, shook my hand. I felt something in it. I know it wasn't a dirty note. Oh, it was dirty, but it wasn't, you know, it was a note. He gave me an offer. He said, here, God told me to bless you. I'm telling you, that's the way God is. I get checks in the mail all the time. People I don't even know. God told me to send you a check. And I don't know these people, but all I do is say, thank you, God. Thank you for the favor. God said, thank you for giving. Thank you for giving. And then shortly after that, God tells me, I'm going to give you a new car. Now, he's just paid my house off. God, you ain't got to give me a new car. I didn't say that, but I'm thinking that. You know, God, you ain't got to give me a new car. Well, I should have said it because the Bible says he knows your very thoughts. Isn't that scary? God knows your thoughts? I'm thinking, whoa, I better be careful what I think. Guy said, call me up, you know, one day. But here's what happened. God said, I'm going to give you a new car. I told Dee, I said, God is going to give me a new car. She said, what kind did he say? I said, he ain't said nothing about we. I said, he didn't say we going to get a new car, Dee. He said, I'm going to get a new car. You going to keep the one you got. And God told me, God said, I'll give it to you before the end of the year. January, February, all the months went by. And Dee said to me one day, she said, you ain't got your new car yet. And you know what I did? I said, get behind me. You ain't got no faith. Now, I didn't call her Satan. I just said, get behind me. You ain't going to discourage me. I know what God said. December 31, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the phone rings. And this guy on the other end said, how you doing? Doing good. Caller ID. I knew who it was. You know? He said, I ain't going to take but a minute. Said, God told me to buy you a new car. What do you want? What do I want? And I said, when he said, what do you want? I said to him, I said, well, brother, you know, just whatever God told you to buy. He said, God told me to ask you what you wanted. Now, I immediately thought about a Mercedes. I really did. Then I thought, no, that ain't going to work. No, I shouldn't do that. I said, well, brother, why don't you just buy me whatever you think I should have? He said, no, God told me to ask you. I said, well, I've always wanted a Lexus. And I really had. He said, no problem. Go down to the dealership. He writes the check. I get the car. Had 6 miles on it. And I even on the way there said, now, God, I'm going to do this. I want you to make sure there's a gold one there. Color. I'd already looked at them. I got online and looked at them. You know, man going to buy you a car. You don't want to just go, well, they got a white one. No, I don't like white. You know, well, you want a blue one? No, I want a gold one, Lord. It was a pretty gold, light gold, beautiful gold. One on the whole lot. Had my name on it, buddy. I knew it was mine. I said, there's a color I like right there. Okay, pull that one out. Y'all clean it up. He paid for it, 100%. You know what I did with the car that I drove over there? Gave it away. Why wouldn't I give it away? God just gave me one. I'm going, now you know what some people would do? Oh, bless God, I'm going to sell that sucker right there and put that money in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And then God may just fix you up real good, too. No, sir, if he blesses you, you bless somebody. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you this, and I'm fixing the clothes right here. As my wife would say, land this airplane. If she was sitting over there right now, here's what she'd do. She would go. Cut it. And if I didn't pay no attention to her, she'd go. I'm going to shoot you, so I'm fixing to cut it. I saw Pastor Chief go. Yeah. No, he didn't. He didn't. I'm going to close with this. The whole thing is as simple as this. I can't tell you God will pay your house off. I can't tell you that God will give you a new car. I don't know what God will do. He may do greater than that. I don't know. But I can't tell you God's going to do something for you when you don't give. Does that make sense? I just want to see people blessed. I just want to see people get what I get. The blessings of God. The joy of God giving. and it comes out of nowhere. It's crazy. Now, I'm in a rental car today because I don't want to put miles on my car. I want it to last as long as it'll last. So One Child Matters tells me, just go rent a car. So I go rent a car. And you know, let me show you a favor. You ready for this? I rent from the airport. Every time I go in there, the girls will say to me, just go out there and get whichever one you want, Reverend. So I go out there and get this big old Infiniti this time, a Q80. I didn't even know they made something that big. Man, me and D just tooling down the interstate yesterday in that thing. People just staring at us. I said, yeah, go ahead and look, bro. That's the favor of God right there. Favor of God. That's what it is. Favor of God. Look some more. So I'm just telling you, I don't know what God will do for you. But won't you give him a chance? Don't get mad because you're not blessed if you're not giving. Hello? Just give. That's all you got to do. And you don't start out. Let me just show you real quick. This is the last line right here. This brother right here, if he could write a check for $100 right now and it not affect his checkbook, I could write one for $1,000 and it not affect my checkbook. God's going to give you the same blessing off of that $100 because you're giving it sacrificially and you're giving it because that's all you can do. He's going to bless your $100 as much as he blesses my $1,000. It ain't equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. It's equal sacrifice. Stand with me, please. Well, it's 12:40. Oh, yeah, it is. I've done this 3 times. That's right. But you know what? All 3 times have been different.
We get extra time, though.
I love the Holy Spirit. I do. I love the Holy Spirit because every time I do churches, multiple services, every service, the pastor will say, well, you didn't preach that. And I said, no, God didn't tell me to share that. God told me, you know, he said, where's your notes? I ain't got none. I mean, I've got them, but I don't use them. My wife said, if you use them, you'd cut your sermon down a little bit. But here's what I want to close with today. The favor of God is the most important thing in my life. I love it. I mean, I love it. Do I have problems? Yeah. Do I go through heartache? Yes. I got two of my kids right now not living for God, and I only have two. Grew up in church. But let me just tell you something. I refuse to let sin have them. I refuse to let the devil have them. I got a son-in-law that's an alcoholic, 33 years old. 33 years old. I have grandkids I know should be in church, but they're not. So do I go through problems? Yeah. But I want to tell you something. I ain't giving up on God. I'm not giving up on my kids. I'm not giving up on God. You hear me? I'm not giving up on God. I'm not going to quit doing what that book tells me to do. And devil, you hear me well. I'm not going to quit giving because you are trying to have havoc with my kids and my family. I'm not going to quit giving. I'm not going to quit doing what God called me to do, taking care of those kids. I'm not going to quit that. Them 40,000 kids are going to eat every day because people like you are going to help me all over this nation. I'm not going to quit doing what I'm doing because you know why? I know the reward. I know the reward. I know the reward. I know the reward. But I just cannot close a service when I preach on favor without giving somebody an opportunity to receive that favor. I'd like for every head just to be bowed and every eye closed. There's nothing spiritual in bowing your head or closing your eyes. We do it as a matter of reverence because we don't want anything to disturb what God might want to do in your life. There's two people in this building today that knows if there's sin in your life. You and God. Two people know if there's sin in your life. You and God. And I just don't like for people to come to the house of God that have sin in their life and go home with it. Because sin will damage you. Sin, the Bible says, breaks fellowship with the Lord. And so today I want the honor in the next 5 minutes just to pray for you. I just want that honor. And I'm going to ask you today, if there's ain't nobody looking right now, I'm looking around, nobody's looking but me and Pastor and God. I'm just going to ask you today. You say, Brother Sam, I know there's sin in my life. I know I've done things I shouldn't do this week and also in past weeks. But today I'm going home without it. Just pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I see those hands. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. 16, you put your hands down. 16 people. Isn't that awesome? I said, isn't that awesome? Anybody else before I pray? Anybody at all? 17. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. When I have sin in my life, you say, you sin? Yeah. Yeah, I've sinned. I had a little temper tantrum the other day. And I had to apologize to the person. And God said, that's sin right there. Get it out of your life. So I'm just going to ask you today, if everybody in here, along with those 17 people, Pastor Keith, if everybody in here would just repeat this prayer with me and included those 17, I want you to repeat it as well. Because it would do us all good to repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, today I come to you. Forgive me of any sin in my life. Lord, be the Lord of my life. Today, Father, I repent. I'm not going home the same way I came. I love you, Jesus. I will live for you all my days on this earth. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That makes you feel so good. Makes me feel good. And I know there ain't no sin in my life, but it sure makes me feel good. Amen. Did you know I do something? I tell you what, you don't have to do this. Every night before I go to sleep, every night, I say, God, if today I did something I shouldn't do, if I hurt somebody, if I said something the wrong way, and Lord, if there's any sin in my life, before I close my eyes, I repent of it, and I ask you to forgive me. And you know why I do that? Because if I die in my sleep, I don't want some little bitty sin keeping me away from Jesus. Because it said it breaks fellowship. I do it every night. Now, most nights I lay there and I can't think of nothing. But, hey, I don't care. I just want it clear between me and him. Amen. 17 people. 14 in the second service and 8 in the first service. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? That is just awesome. I love you, folks. Thank you for letting me share my heart with you. Thank you for letting me go overtime today. Just do something. Do me a big favor. Let his favor jump all over your life. Amen? Let it jump all over your life. If you sponsored a child, don't you dare take that white form home with you. Stop by the table and give it to my wife, Rye, or you can put it in the offering plates at the door back there. You can do either one. Pastor Keith.
Thank you, Brother Sal. If the prayer team will come forward, I'm going to dismiss you. To give you a chance to have someone pray with you today. If you have a sickness in your body, if you need a miracle, if you need a financial miracle, if something's going on in your relationship, whatever it is, God wants to get involved, and he will if you ask him. And a prayer of faith makes a difference. And these people up here have faith to share with you today. So if you need prayer for anything after I dismiss you, please come and let someone pray with you. Can you just say thank you to Brother Salp and Sister D for being here today? He said some pastors get nervous or upset when he preaches on giving, and I think it makes the devil nervous, and I think that's why people are uncomfortable with it, because if we ever in unity not only love God, love people, and if we all give, amazing things will happen. I love Brother Sav. You hear that he prays some different prayers like fleas in your bed. I've heard him I've heard him say a blessing over the food and say, and Lord, give the indigestion to somebody else. So his prayer life is his prayer life, no doubt. May God bless you this week and keep his hand upon you. May he keep you from evil and pain and keep you from causing pain. May he extend your realm of influence and give you favor. May joy and laughter spill from the doors and windows of your home. May depressed and dark days be over in the name of Jesus. We love you. Come back and see us Wednesday. And if you need prayer, please come and get prayer.